Accepting Rebuke, Patient Humility. Theme text: Do not reprove a scoffer, or he will hate you. Reprove a wise man, and he will love you. Proverbs 9, verse 8. Scriptures from the NASB, unless otherwise noted. This proverb is a hard saying for several reasons. First, reproof is hard to give sincerely, and in most cases even harder to receive sincerely. Second, the proverb deals only in extremes. It identifies two distinct subjects of reproof, the scoffer and the wise man. There are two opposing effects of reproof, hate and love. But like many challenging passages of Scripture, and similar to many of the contrasts found in the book of Proverbs, this hard saying offers a bounty of compelling lessons for the follower of God's principles. The appreciation gained from this proverb has special application to anyone seeking to improve their character, and provide a special blessing to those Christians seeking spiritual growth. There are various forms of the word reproof in Scripture. Gentler forms of similar words are rendered in the Hebrew and Greek text as instruction, or simply as an answer. More serious forms are translated as discipline, chastisement, rebuke, or even judgment. From our text in Proverbs 9:8, the Hebrew word translated as reproof in the NASB is Strong's H3198, means to be right. While this may seem to be a milder or more moderate form of the word by degree, there can be no question of the power and outcome it implies. Jehovah says through Isaiah, "Come now and let us reason together." H3198. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Isaiah 1:18. The power of this passage lies in its contrast between sin and the standard of perfection, and it beautifully foreshadows the unblemished Lamb of God through its symbols. Being right together is the attainment of a justified or right position in the sight of Jehovah God, and yet it is the very same word translated throughout the Old Testament as decide, appoint, complain, chasten, rebuke, correct, etc. Reproof is scripturally broad in use and application, and so seems appropriate as a general term representing correction to a high standard. The principal objective of reproof is the reconciliation or atonement with God Himself. Proverbs 9, verse 8 plainly presents the consequences of attempting to reprove someone. The reprover is told not to reprove a scoffer, but instead is encouraged to reprove a wise man. The result of reproof is either hatred or love toward the reprover, depending on the type of person being reproved. Reproving the scoffer. One might think it is honorable or kind to try and help a scoffer by offering reproof. But a scoffer has a doubting mindset, seeking wisdom yet not finding it due to his proud and contentious nature. See Proverbs 14, verse 6, Proverbs 21, verse 24, and also Proverbs 22, verse 10. Scripture repeatedly tells us that scoffers will not respond favorably to correction. Proverbs 15, 32 states, "He who neglects discipline despises himself." In Proverbs 1, the voice of wisdom calls out to the stubborn to hear reproof and to fear the Lord. The stubborn responds with neglect of counsel and knowledge, rejecting reproof. When their dread eventually comes, the Lord will not answer them. So they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be satiated with their own desires. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 23 through 31. This goes beyond stubbornness. It is a deliberate disregard for the care of the heart and a path to destruction. Proverbs 9, verse 7. The verse preceding our text, the one who tries to correct a scoffer is warned that he will receive disgrace, and the one who tries to reprove a wicked man is warned that he will receive a blemish. The consequences here are injury to the one who gives correction and reproof. Further, it would seem that even association with scoffers and the wicked is akin to being a companion to fools, the result of which is harm. Proverbs 13:20. Other scriptural references to scoffers show no evidence of recovery from this bitter attitude of heart under current conditions, confirming that the reproof or correction of such is not only pointless but may even be a trap. Isaiah 29 verses 20 through 21. Thus, in order to guard one's heart, no attempt should be made to reprove a scoffer. Reproof of such is at best a waste of time and effort. Not only are the results unfruitful, but they also bring upon the reprover unnecessary reproach, harm, and hatred, injury. Reproving the wise man. By contrast, the result of heeding a wise man's reproof is love, a strong demonstration of respect for the correction received. This love reflects a sincere appreciation for the lesson. The wise man is undoubtedly blessed by the reproof to have such a sincere and genuine reaction. This result is the exact opposite of the scoffer's snare. It carries no risk of injury, spot, or harm, only goodness. The benefit of the reproof, in this case, is felt by both the giver and the receiver. Having a heart that responds so positively to chastisement or even rebuke seems rare. Scripture helps explain how this ideal scenario can become a reality through character development. The one who seeks correction wants to be made right with God. A wise man recognizes that he is imperfect and incomplete, and he values the opportunity for improvement. Solomon opens the book of Proverbs by identifying his desire to know wisdom and instruction in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 2, and to receive instruction in wise behavior and righteousness in verse 3. The wise man recognizes that he has weaknesses and character flaws and seeks to improve his behavior. He wants to hear an increase in learning. In verse 5, he wants to grow. A favorable response to correction signifies a heart that is not proud and ears that want to acquire wise counsel. While fools despise wisdom and instruction, the wise man recognizes that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge in Proverbs 1:7. He understands that wisdom itself comes from the Lord. See Proverbs 2 verse 6, 9 verse 10, as well as Psalms 111 verse 10. It takes humility to recognize the Heavenly Father as the source of wisdom and to acknowledge that reverence for Him is foundational to character development. Proverbs 15:33 states as much. The fear of the Lord is the instruction for wisdom, and before honor comes humility. The requirement for growing character, one of the greater lessons of wisdom in the book of Proverbs, is a humble heart. It takes humility to accept correction. The exploration of this character quality of the wise man, humility, yields an important lesson about spiritual growth. Children often hear correction best, in part because they have not yet developed pride, and their hearts and minds are trainable. The Master taught his disciples that unless they became like little children, specifically humble, they would not be eligible to enter the kingdom of heaven. See Matthew 18, verses 3 through 4. Who better than a child to respond to a parent's training if they are disciplined? Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Indeed, they are graceful wreaths to your head and ornaments about your neck. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 8 through 9. The wise man values correction itself more than the cost of being corrected, which might include embarrassment or even some shame for his mistakes or behavior. While correction may at first seem like a sacrifice to the ego and a humbling blow, the true heart recognizes it as an opportunity from God, the author of righteousness. As noted, the daunting condemnations of wisdom call out the unhearing, naive ones in Proverbs 1:22 through 33. But the wise one finds a blessed promise in these words, "Turn to my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you." Proverbs 1:23. The statement from Proverbs 15:31, "He whose ear listens to life-giving reproof will dwell among the wise," tells us that wisdom itself is gained through correction. It is not that someone becomes wise and then learns correction. The growth of wisdom is an active process that begins with and remains rooted in humility and fear of the Lord. A humble heart is a prerequisite for hearing the advice of another person, let alone for appreciating the lessons taught through instruction, correction, and chastisement. When reproof is given, the way it is communicated can influence how it's received. For example, if correction is provided harshly or offered without respect, the emotional response of the one receiving it may be heightened, closing their ears. Would reproof be well received when the provider of reproof is unqualified to properly observe circumstances or hindered by their own errors of judgment? See Matthew 7, verses 3 through 5. 5 examples. A study of how reproof is given and received in Scripture helps us to understand these concepts. Consider these 5 examples presented in chronological order. First, God's unanswerable questions about omnipotence humbled Job. God's reproof of Job was in a long series of questions and comparisons, each of which could ultimately only be answered or reconciled by God Himself, not by Job nor any of his friends. When Job became aware of his own self-reliant behavior, his response was an open confession and repentance. In Job 42, verses 1 through 6, Job could not hear the reproof of his three friends because their advice was not grounded in the reality of Job's circumstances, nor was their reproof based upon the principles of God. See Job 32, verse 3. Second, Nathan's clever but respectful metaphor led to David being humbled by his own proclamation of judgment. Because David was blind to his own guilt, Nathan's technique was to appeal to David's sense of justice on a hypothetical matter, a metaphor for David's own sin. After David pronounced a sentence of judgment against the man, the antagonist of the metaphor, Nathan revealed that David was the man. This pronouncement of self-judgment was humbling to David. See Psalms 51. Third, the hearts of the Pharisees were revealed by their own proclamations of judgment. The Pharisees were rebuked by the Lord Jesus on many occasions, both directly and through parables. After hearing the parable of the wicked husbandman, the Pharisees condemned the parable's antagonist. See Matthew 21:41. When they realized the parable was about them, they sought to seize Jesus, revealing the stubborn condition of their own hardened hearts. Fourth, Peter's sorrow was touched by Jesus' gentle encouragement. For his denial of the Lord and the overconfidence that caused it, Peter was reproved in advance by Jesus the man, and later by Jesus the risen Lord. His correction had Peter's growth and restoration in view. His rebuke was a kind of reflection of God's mercy. See Matthew 18. Peter showed his humble acceptance of the Lord's encouragement given in a loving manner as recorded by John in chapter 21. Fifth, patterns of reproof given in Paul's writings. After receiving the Holy Spirit as the leader of the church in Jerusalem, the Apostle Peter was reproved by Paul for his hypocrisy regarding Jewish customs in Galatians chapter 2, verses 11 through 14. Yet both respected each other's important roles in the church. Paul later shows Timothy how to carefully give and use rebuke, both for the individual and for the benefit of the flock, in 1 Timothy 5, verses 1 through 2 and verse 20. The scriptural principles of reproof are based on fundamentals, learning humility and the fear of the Lord. Along these lines, Peter offers this excellent advice on how church members should view one another. You younger men, likewise, be subject to your elders, and all of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. For God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. 1 Peter 5, verse 5. While discipline is often painful at the time, it should not be resisted but accepted for spiritual maturity. Consider the lessons of Hebrews chapter 12, verses 3 through 15. God disciplines us for our good, so that we may share His holiness. All discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful, but sorrowful. Yet to those who have been trained by it, afterwards it yields the peaceable fruits of righteousness. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 10 through 11. For whom the Lord loves, He reproves, even as a father corrects the son in whom he delights. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 12.